Close your eyes, and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll ride home.
And it is 7 a.m. in the West Coast, it is 10 a.m. in the East Coast, and it is 5 p.m. in Jerusalem, Israel. Today is August 23rd, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis and The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we're going to celebrate this weekend with Israeli music, and we are going to touch base with Israeli news and what's around or in the area in the Middle East. However, we started with Amy Winehouse with the song of the Beatles, All My Loving, because we pay tribute to many, many artists, and most of, incredible artists are Jewish and from, they have connection to Israel, and Sunday is the connection, and I'm going to make sure that we recognize them as much as we can. And today I want to recognize God that put me through an incredible 4 days of, I was so sick that I barely made it today, and I'm thankful for God that I made it. So thank you for that. Let's start with what's going on in the world. In the world, it's as usual, it's a hoo-ha about the news. A lot of news is trying to get attention, a lot of ex-somebody about something they could have made and could have done. And you know what? I like people of actions. Somebody says, we want to see action. If you talk about what you could have done, everybody has a story like this. We could have been the old world and the other side of it. So what does it matter? What matters is the proof on the ground and what we're doing. And today, we're learning that this weekend, the British government embassy just reopened. Even though that they had so many graffitis on top of it. But we have some light. Let's listen to this.
Reopen its embassy in Iran this weekend. The British Foreign Secretary is reportedly set to travel to Tehran for the event, which comes 4 months after Iran reached a nuclear deal with the UK and five other world powers. The embassy was closed nearly 4 years ago after being stormed by protesters.
All right, that was a short. Just to tell you that how much courage the British government had to have to open it first after the deal. They talked about it a year ago. And it's something that represents the leadership of the European, the English more than that. They know what to do. They go and do the thing. You got an agreement. They amend it. They open an embassy. It was closed in 2011, and because after it had been stormed by Iranian protest, They were talking about the sanction, but they should be welcoming it, shouldn't treat them this way. And you know what? This weekend, I want to touch base with Iran because it's the big hoo-ha here in Israel and about the fact that what they're trying to do to stop the Congress from amending this deal, even though that it was told that it's only for this presidential in case, they're not obligated. It's not something that, the Congress is, it's not a treaty, as I understood it, if I understood it correctly. And what happens is everybody is contemplating what really is going to happen, what they're going to do. Now they have missiles, and now they're going to can shoot. And also, in the last program that I had a quote from a very very kind woman that says, we're gonna respect this deal and everything, but we're gonna defend ourselves. And we're asking, who's gonna, who's gonna offend you? How come Iranian all of a sudden felt offended? And this storm, you know, 30 years ago, stormed the embassy, American embassy, and started the whole thing. Of course, they are hoo-ha behind the scenes. But they needed to change the government. So, and the Western world went with that coup too. They didn't do coup only to the regime; they coup the other. But let me tell you something behind the scene, because it's me and you here, and nobody else. Nobody's listening to us. It's like only a few of us, and we know that carefully. Doing it and. We're doing it for our sake to contemplate what life is all about, real, because we want peace. We want, at the end of the day, to go to a better world, that is peaceful, leave the children, happy, growth, prosperity. We love to have fun, it's enough with this war. And it's been in control of mankind all over, and every time they have a dispute, they start fighting. And we, as women, we didn't have a saying in many, many years of government, and you can approve that. I don't need to bring any proof that it's right. Women are still the largest minority in the world. And what we're having here now, women finally starting to collect data, making the analysis, and try to assess the situation like every household woman does. Instead of who is calling against, because they're fighting all the time. So in order for her to build a house, she needs to collect the information and try to come up with a genius idea like mothers do. Now, let me tell you about this deal. This deal can go bad, can go wrong anytime. Now, they know it, we know it. Now, we are not going to start speculating that they're going to hurt themselves. Because they know that if something is going to move, they're going to get it. And you know what? There is a high alert. Everybody is suspicious. Nobody. And now when this deal with anti-missile that the Russians are selling, what's going on? Oh, it's for defense mechanism, of course. So you guys are going to build something to destroy the world, and you're going to have also a defense mechanism to destroy that, in order for them not to be destroyed. I don't think people are thinking through what you're trying to, the message you're sending, okay? Let me tell you about a situation behind the scene, nothing formal, but everything is between friends. When the Arab Spring started, it started in Iran. It didn't start in Tunisia, like they said. It didn't start in Egypt, like they made the Passover Mubarak. It started with the people marching in Iran. They start marching, and it wasn't for nothing. There was a lady, a brave lady, that died, in France. They didn't have guns, they didn't have anything, and they just marched. They had, the voice of the people were there to say, we are not with the government. And of course, they were kept quiet. But I want to tell you something. We all knew about it. We knew that they're going to be a rebel there. We knew. And what we did? We did nothing. We did nothing because we didn't want to start a war. We didn't plan to start a war. We could have done it from inside if we wanted. And the fact of the matter, we did not. Now, Iran needs to take in consideration this proposition. And we knew that they're going to come again. Because, voices are voices. You can't, they were tweeting, for God's sake. What do you expect? Now that you know that everything is open, you know that they know everything and about everybody all the time. So what's the big deal? You guys want to have, if you have a death wish, what's the deal? You want to destroy Iran? Because the nuclear weapon in the hands of the wrong people. We're not saying that they're not reasonable people there. It's dangerous. It's not healthy for anybody. Look what happened to Japan. It's exploded. What do you think? That they got to start cooking something and God won't intervene? It can happen by itself. You don't need a magician. You don't need anybody to do that. You know, it can happen by itself. It's chemical. It's something that happens. Now, I want to remind the Iranian people something, and I'm saying it from the heart of a very Jewish woman. I remember Queen Esther. Queen Esther still have a graveyard in Iran. Yes, you guys had a queen, which was a Jewish one, probably Israeli with the attitude that she had, to go and marry the king, why not? Now, our Cinderella story is in Iran. So what part of it you forgot? That, is this forever war with us? Okay, we have 30 years of bad blood. Now, we have new generation, new people. We want to refrain from, you know, all alert. People, you know, probably won't like me like that, what I'm saying. They want, you know, to threaten, to scare you. I'm not saying scaring stuff. I'm just saying get it out. It's enough. We are not going to battle you if you are going to be conducting yourself diplomatically like you did. You know, and everybody's saying, oh, you guys are going to control the thing yourself. Of course, like honorable Iranian understand, Iranian word is honor. People don't remember that over here because they've been stuck by right on that. You know, the Palestinians didn't give a good example of what loyalty, trustworthiness is. Because you can cut the deal with the Palestinians and next door they bomb something. And I'm so sorry, I don't know who they are because I have no clue where they come from. Because those people are not, you know, the Arab of the lands are Arab, they're good, they play, they work, they study, they do everything. They're buddies. They work with us. We enjoy each other. They have great food. We enjoy the atmosphere. But give us a break. Get off your higher roads of destruction and go away. Now, okay, it's destruction. I can't, you know, it's the forces of good against bad, right? So may the good win. That's all I can say. So let's give you some Israeli music just to chill the atmosphere.
רק אם הייתי יודע, הייתי מביא לך ריחות של שמחה. רק אם הייתי יודע שמועקה תלווה את הכל. רק אם הייתי פחות אנוכי וקשוב קצת אלייך. רק אם הייתי יודע שזה יומנו האחרון.
Wow, that was a great song. It's a new song. Just if I knew it was the last day. It means that, you know, guys, every day, every minute is the last minute. We never know what's tomorrow will bring. And if we just take the time and enjoy ourselves and maybe bring some light to the world that is so darkened. And, you know, the question of the day always is say how you can have the energy to do so much or to go over and make your life better. It's by trusting. It's by trusting in yourself. You need to trust. And as Jewish people say, we trust in God. And you know, the whole world is a very narrow bridge we sing along. And that song says, you know, but the only thing you have to be aware of, never fear. Just as, you know, the president, JFK said, fear itself. Don't fear, just fear itself. So remember, we can overcome. And there is so much in the making. You know, I'm looking around. People are trying so hard. There is so tons of conferences everywhere. And those conferences are bringing together people, knowledge. We need to start spreading our willing to know. You know, in England, for example, In September, you got September 7th to the 15th, you have Center of the Small State in Agra Conference. You know, talking about small state, I don't know what's the topic of that. It's probably it's a nonprofit government conferences. There is military fight training in London again, maritime and reconnaissance and surveillance. Oh, they are getting ready to everything. I don't want armed forces engineering, please. Airborne, global, and social media and defense military sector. Wow, we are in defense mechanism. So what it means that they're going to join forces. If the English are in, I see no time that they're going to take ISIS down, because the way they operate is much more effective than we are. We're spreading, we're a little, that's slow, we're different. I think we can do about it, it's different. Now today, going back to Israel, and going back to Iran situation, let me just conclude that subject, because I remind the grace of our youth to Iran when we said that we had a queen there, so they should maybe respect the past and come back to it instead of trying to discover the annihilation of the future, which, nobody's going to be winning. Nobody. So I would like them to see us winners. No, they're not. They are calculating people. So the voices in Israel were saying, we could have hurt Iran. Yes, they could. They didn't want to. If they wanted, they would do that. They didn't want to. They implanted it, and they have the capability. And, of course, the American will be there because, of course, they'll try to balance. But the balance of power is always there. So please, just remember, everybody has the tool to destruction. The wise men have the tool to construction. All right? So let's keep on going, because we want to talk about what happened today. Today, in 1 hour, there was supposed to be, a little demonstration in the city of Jerusalem for Temple Mount, for freedom on Temple Mount, because the situation is getting out of hand. And when I said the situation is out of hand, it's not like people going to storm or things like that. It's just when you have flag of Daesh, ISIS, Hamas, all the terrorist organization together on Temple Mount, you can consider it two factors. One of all, this is not against the agreement. The Jordanians are holding the Temple Mount legally because of they're bound by the peace accord with Israel, and they're supposed to control that area. The Israeli control the footwalk, the police, but most of the policemen are Arabs. I've been there, I don't know. I didn't see much Israeli, so many Arabs, and they were rushing us. But I'm not the person that people rush usually, because I don't, I just walk. I don't create, of course, you never know. But what I'm saying is that you have to understand that holy site needs to be holy. If they're fighting with death, they believe in death. And we have a soundbite talking about how they believe in death. And you know what? I didn't want to put it on. But let's do put it on. Let's put it on to explain to people what they mean when they believe in, they want to destroy the world. I don't know what else to call it.
With this latest success, capturing not just the historic city of Palmyra, but the important Al-Hayl gas field outside it, the self-styled Islamic State now controls 50% of Syria's territory. The sheer savagery of IS has worked superbly well. it paralyzes its enemies with terror. We're coming for you, he says, with disturbing calm, with men who love death as much as you love life. You will never be safe as long as we are alive. Palmyra, one of the world's great classical cities, is now defenseless. When it can, Islamic State destroys all vestiges of the non-Islamic past. The speed of the IS advance has been quite extraordinary. Yesterday it was Palmyra. 4 days ago, it gained the important town of Ramadi in western Iraq. A vast flood of terrified refugees pours along the roads out of Ramadi, desperate to escape the vengeance of Islamic State. A mere 200 IS fighters captured the town, chasing out 10 times that number of Iraqi soldiers. The people of the town feel utterly abandoned. This woman screams at the BBC, "The government has let us down." All that is only 60 miles away, yet Baghdad feels calm and pretty relaxed tonight. Almost two-thirds of the Iraqi army is based in and around the capital to protect it.
The fall of Ramadi has given people a scare here, though the anxiety has started to fade now. But there is a definite feeling that the Iraqi army let the country down. While in America, some people are starting to blame it all on US policy.
And yet, Western officials here are confident that IS can and will be beaten. They believe Ramadi will be recaptured within weeks. Even so, the last few days have been a nasty shock. John Simpson, BBC News, Baghdad.
All right. I brought it back to what it was supposed to be. Thank you so much for Doug Elp. What we are saying here is what they are representing, and they are spreading their wings all over the Middle East, and they're spreading fear, and there are a lot of people caught in the middle. And we have to pray for them because, you know, most of our people don't have anything to do with it. It's just that fraction of the Islamic ideologists of the Islamic State that they have no border and they're going to control the world. Now, how are you going to stop some craziness like this? You have to start early. That's the only thing you have to remember. You have to start early because if you let it be, you lose the war. And I think we enjoy the movie for too long. It was ridiculous so far, and because they've been advancing, and they've got a hold of a lot of tools, weapons, etc. And of course, now that the Syria is going to fold, we're going to have a problem taking control of it. So we need to see what we're going to do there because it's important, okay? So let's remember that, that we are going to take control of whatever we can to help the people in the world, that we can help save those old refugees. Now, on Temple Mount, it's a consensus. It's a world consensus that needs to be intact. And we are sending, you know, one of the best to the United Nations to start discussing real issue like Jerusalem and what's the status of it, because it's ridiculous that they didn't recognize as the capital of Israel for too long. We're going to send Daniel Danone, which was the vice minister of defense. He's a young, very polite, astute, very strong-minded young boy, which and I'm calling him boy because I expect greatness from this man because he'd been, you know, walking the corridors of power for many years, so he's really trained. The only thing is that this time he's going to have a crew, a lot of influential people who are going to help him understand the issue so well that we're going to deliver a real good argument to all those opposition. And we are not going to argue against the control of anything. We just want to argue for the control of the Jewish people on the Holy City of Jerusalem, which is our, because we are the custodian. And you cannot bring the light back to the world if the custodian of the holy places, you know, the God. Because what we have energy of love, we have energy of war. And if you give, you know, the energy, the top, ultimate touch with the existence of this world, which we believe it is on Temple Mount, you actually leave the power with them. So it's not about, you know what, I don't know. Maybe I'm just spirituality speaking. Maybe it's just the belief speaking. But we need to try this, okay? We need to understand that by the regulation and by the rules of the Bible, which we all respectfully connect to the world, Jerusalem needs to be there, you know, in the hands of the Jewish people, and the Holy Site should be in the hands of the Jewish people as custodians. You guys can all be free to come. That's all. We don't want control, you know, building of the Holy Temple. It's not the Jewish purpose only. It's only spiritual building for all the world. How long is it going to take for the world to understand that in the Holy City of Jerusalem, we need a spiritual center for everybody? If it's all important for everybody, everybody needs to enjoy it. And for some reason, you're giving a few flags of a terrorist to threaten you, and get control over yourself. You know, it's 2015. You can buzz them. You know, just tell them to move on, negotiate with the Jordanian. Tell them, you know, we're very happy that you took custody over the mosque. The mosque is still yours. Nothing is going to happen to them. But the rest of the temple mount is not yours. We need the space. You know, because Al-Aqsa and all the screaming around the temple, the mosque, is out of the temple, you know, temple mount. So relax. We're not talking about that. We are talking about the source of energy of the rest of the world. And we need to start thinking about it as a source of energy for everybody. And they are in control over it. Duh. Well, that's a part of our understanding, if you can call it this way. Anyway, let's get some more music and we'll be right back after that.
האור והצל משחקים שוב תופסת השולחן ערוך תמונות ילדות על הקיר שיירות לבנות חוזרות מבית כנסת והריח הזה שסורק לי את הלב מתגנב מתגנב ופותח דלתות.
All right, a little present. That's what Rami Kleinstein was singing. It says, those little presents when you walk in the street and you find the flavor of a Friday afternoon of the Sabbath when people are walking with the yarmulke. That's a cute, cute song. Anyway, now we want to talk about what's going on with the Kurds and ISIS and, of course, the Turks. We're going to listen to the soundbite that we played before a little, but now is the time. Let's go.
Walk along the streets of Kurdistan's second largest city, Sulaymaniyah, and you'll instantly notice that it looks nothing like most of the images we see coming out of Iraq. By all appearances, this oil-rich city in northeastern Iraq is thriving. Shoppers fill the streets without apparent fear of terror bombs. Roads into and out of this city of over 800,000 are safe and well-maintained. But what is most striking in this overwhelmingly Muslim region is that women enjoy much more freedom than in many other areas throughout the Middle East, even as you'll see later serving in all-women fighting units taking on ISIS.
I am not doing this to protect myself, but also to protect women. In our culture, we respect women, I think, a lot more.
Dr. Shaho Buran Abdullah lectures at Sulaymaniyah University.
And that allows women to have their own rights, to exercise their social rights. The hijab is not compulsory. Politically, you know, in Kurdistan, we have a relative democracy. So we are our rules are not based on Sharia or Islamic, strict Islamic rules.
But last summer, an ISIS invasion came very close to destroying all these achievements in Kurdistan's autonomous region. ISIS pushed to within 30 miles of the capital, Erbil. During this offensive, they took hostages and raped and sold into slavery thousands of women. Now Kurdish women who are part of what's known as the PKK militia are fighting back. 27-year-old Baratan is one of them.
As a woman, when you take your rifle, go out, and get ready to fight against them, even if you don't kill them, you are fighting against their mentality.
We met Baratan after driving 100 miles from Sulaymaniyah into more central Iraq. The security is so precarious, we had to change cars three times to get there, fearful one of the drivers might betray us to try to collect the $80,000 reward ISIS offers for the capture of an American journalist. En route, it became clear how fluid the battle lines can be. The Kurdish fighters, for example, command this main highway, but ISIS positions are just 400 yards away at that hilltop.
After that hill, the land is under the control of ISIS.
The lines are porous and could be crossed by mistake. Once we get there, Baratan is showing newly arrived women soldiers the front line. The villages across the field are under ISIS control.
As you know, I am a sniper. In the last battle, I killed three of them and injured one. This was in the last operation.
The gunfights occur regularly. Even so, the women fighters stand above the protective bulldozed berms to see the enemy.
Those houses that you see are under ISIS control, but when we start our operation, we will control them.
ISIS warriors believe if they die in battle, they receive the 72 virgins of paradise. But if they are killed at the hands of female fighters, they go straight to hell.
How does it feel when you're facing an enemy who says, if you threaten them, if they die, they go straight to hell because they were killed by a woman?
When I fight against them, I feel stronger, empowered, because when they see women, they go weak at the knees. Because according to their belief, they must not be killed by a woman. When they see us, they prefer to run away, not to be killed by us.
The stakes are very high. If you get captured, you're a sex slave, you're raped. How does this make you feel?
We say that we have the power and morale to go and rescue those women. At the same time, we will kill ourselves, not let them capture us, not to face the same situation. I am not the only one who thinks like that. All our women fighters will not surrender.
When you look at the founding charter of the PKK, it's about Kurdish and female emancipation. Same thing is true for the PYD, the Kurds in Syria. So they've institutionalized a different role for women than we see in the Arab parts of Iraq and Syria.
David Phillips of Columbia University is an expert on Kurdish affairs. He served as a policy advisor under Presidents Clinton, Bush, and Obama, and has recently written The Kurdish Spring, A New Map of the Middle East. He says the United States was slow to recognize the threat last summer after ISIS seized territory in Iraq and Syria, and believes the United States should supply more weapons to the Kurds, including the PKK's female units. Women fighters accounted for 40% of all Kurdish fighters battling ISIS in the border town of Kobani.
The Kurds are the point of the spear fighting against ISIS in all the countries of the Middle East. Now, the struggle against ISIS is an ideological struggle of those that share Western values of pluralism and tolerance against those who are fundamentally intolerant and seek to kill their adversaries.
But supporting the Kurdish fighters is a complicated decision for American policymakers because for decades, Kurds seeking their own homeland have launched attacks in Turkey, prompting the United States to brand the PKK as a terrorist organization. The U.S. now risks alienating Turkey if it supplies heavy weaponry to the PKK, including its battle-tested women fighters.
Some of them are widowed from Turkish military operations in the southeast. Others are just simply committed to the Kurdish cause and have taken up arms because there's been no political recourse for them in Turkey. It's a continuation of the PKK's mobile approach to fighting for Kurdish rights wherever Kurds are oppressed, which sadly is not only in Turkey, but Syria, Iraq, and Iran.
But now Kurds face a much more serious existential challenge containing ISIS and its extraordinarily harsh treatment of women. And so these women fighters have decided to devote their lives to confronting the threat. All have agreed not to marry or to have children. Their fighting unit becomes their family.
Why do it?
If you want to protect yourself and live free, you can't reach it in our traditional marriages. The slavery begins in the family. When you follow the mentality that you should marry at a certain age and have children, then you choose to live in a cage. I didn't want to belong to anyone, and I shared this directly with my family and also with my friends.
In many ways, Baratan and these fighters feel they are married to the fate of their people. ISIS is determined to destroy their society. Now they hope America will supply the heavy weapons to help these fighters defend their homeland.
Unbelievable. This is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible True on BBS Radio. We just were talking about the Yazidi women form all-female fighting unit to take on ISIS. And there is a verse in the Deuteronomy that says that vengeance is mine and recompense for the time where the fruit shall sleep, for the day their calamity is at hand and their doom comes swiftly. This is this group of Yazidi women, 123 Yazidis women that were recruited to fight the ISIS. They have aged from 17 to 30, and they are trained, with a Kurdish soldier, and they were blessed by the Kurdish government, and they are called the Sun Girls. Those Sun Girls bring sunshine to the very, very dark ages of the women in those places. And we salute them. We really, really pray for them. And I know that sex slaves were a very big issue on the ISIS front, and every man should be appalled. But most of all, those Yazidi women are really, really appalled, and they are fighting it. The ISIS believes that the Yazidis are erratic and thereby justified forcing them into the institution of sex slavery. Children as young as a year old sold into slavery, according to girls who have escaped, were ransomed by families or other benefactors. The slave might be raped and 30 times a day, and they were sometimes sold over several different buyers, enduring unimaginable cruelty and abuse in the process. Girls who refuse to have sex with their owner, they often killed. Men, yeah, you men of the world, we need to help those girls. I don't know why, but you need to help those girls because they're saving those children. And sex slavery is so passé, you know. We want to talk about the freedom, freedom's women, for God's sake. And, you know, I don't care if Turkish really upset. I don't care if Erdogan lose the election, because his time is done. He's been more destructive in their region than anybody else. Turkish destroyed by him. She was such an open society, such a format to tourism, to a good friendship. And what happened then? He came along and decided to destroy everything. Well, good for him that now we're gonna send them bye-bye. Now, the Americans, you know, sending all those help to the Yazidi, bless your heart. Bless your heart. And I pray for you women. Hey, from Israeli girl to you guys, I salute you. All right, let's listen to some music with love to them. Back, we're running again out of time, and I want to salute the U.S. soldier that averted a catastrophe on a French train by jumping terrorist armed with gun. And there was saying in the plasma, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all the enemy on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked." God bless you, U.S. soldier, that took the time to help French in the train. God bless you. We love you so much. And there is another news about the Filipino Schindler. Their Schindler list is Schindler was the one that saved Jewish people in the Second World War. And there was a late president, Manuel Quezon, I guess. He was honored for saving 1,200 Jews during the Holocaust. He that follow after righteousness and mercy find life, prosperity, and honor. That's from Proverb. And this is all thanks to the breaking Israeli news, latest news with a Bible perspective. It's amazing sight. It's actually breaking news all the time. Sometimes they do more than create like, oh, wow, something has happened. Breaking news, you know. Israel wanted to bomb Iran. Well, duh, of course. But then we think, and we're not doing it. So don't get excited when they give you. But there is other stuff like the Christian Zionist group brings fight against anti-Semitism to UN global stage. It's the Christian Zionist group proclaiming justice to the United Nations convened on a special session to the UN to help Christians learn the impact of genocidal anti-Semitism. Well, the truth of the matter is that the Christian needs to organize because they are under threat everywhere. You know, the Jews are really, they understand. So we have the homeland of the Jews and they go and people, if they have pressure, they'll move out and they'll move to Israel. But I want to tell to you all, before you come to Israel, organize the work, organize the plan. There is a program here, but here on the ground, it's not easy, okay? Nobody will give you anything. It's the land of innovation. So everybody goes so fast. You cannot get a hold of one idea and they run to the next, and they are running at a speed of life, and they're doing their job. So sometimes the newcomers really suffering because they have no space to say it, and especially when there are so many non-illegal immigrants that are infiltrated the country. And you know, this is a shelter for the Jewish people in case there is anti-Semitism, and once it's right, they need to come in. And by all description, Israel is really too tiny. And I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, you know, we need to legalize all the borders to be okay. I want Israel, Jerusalem to be recognized as a capital, you know, for it to be a freedom of worship for everybody. But I want Judea and Samaria to be entitled. There was no other country there legally binding or not. There is no Palestinian issue. You know, talk to Jordan. Why are you? They're 80% Palestinian, and I don't know where they come from, Palestinian, because, you know, Arafat was from Egypt. Everyone that wants to put something and says we're a freedom fighter, they're Palestinian. No. Now they're ISIS, and, you know, they go and whatever, the caliphate. So get a hold of your message sometimes, those Palestinians, it's ridiculous. Now they're gone almost. But we need the space to start creating, you know, more work. We need to have work. We need to have an engine for the world, you know, technology. I need to understand why the people that create so much energy to the world to work, they are being the obstacles are, you know, all around. So when you come from outside, please prepare everything, because they're not going to have the time to take care of you. Just remember that. I'm here, but it's not easy. Well, we have a note, you know, this is from the, of course, the biblical perspective. Israel's first chief rabbi saw Jews and Christians working in harmony to bring Messiah. That's true. That's true. We're working in harmony. We have brothers. We have brothers. So we're missing the, you know, stepbrother that doesn't want to play along. Rabbi Abraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, a Jew, a Christian, that's partly moving Israel forward in the Messiah era. Well, he died, of course. He wanted to build a temple too. But what we can do, we can keep on the, you know, the history going. And something I want to say for the record, you know, everybody in the left wing of Israeli goody tissues that's been claiming that they, you know, they want peace and everything, they never follow suit with the Rabin program. Because Rabin program was to bring the American embassy to Jerusalem. It was promised by President Clinton, which Hillary Clinton never mentioned again. Oh yes, Jerusalem, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter, she was the state secretary. She could have done something, but she didn't. And now she's claiming what? She cannot claim nothing. She doesn't follow suit with their own promises. And you promise, on live video that I broadcast here, that if he takes the courage to make peace, courage means to put his life on the line, we'll take everything precaution to help him defend himself. Well, he's dead. Because they didn't take all precautions to help him. They actually neglected his courage, because they didn't really think that something that happened 2 meters from the embassy, nothing. So when we are saying that, you know, the left wing, they want peace and blah, 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 no, they don't want nothing, because they would follow Rabin. Rabin had a vision, and I'm a right winger. Yeah, because I believe in God, and left winger, God forbid, you know, if they mention God. So I'm a left winger because I believe in God. But that Rabin is my hero too, and I want to follow suit on it. You have a good idea. Let's listen to another song, just for a few minutes, so we can salute you with a kiss, okay? Thank you. are back. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this is Impossible Truth. We spent today with some Israeli music and some regional information and news, and with a prayer. We are praying for all of you. We're praying, you know, from Israel to miracles, that to feed, you know, all those thousand people that are in need. To before, you know, this month will end. We'll have the new year ushered in. So we want everybody to understand that a lot of prayer, a lot of forgiveness, a lot of loving, caring. And remember, this is only today. We are here. Tomorrow, you never know. So please do your best every day, and God will rejoice with you. Please listen to your heart every time and do the right thing, because there is a God, and it's not us. All right. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. You all there in Israel. We are back to a regular tomorrow at 8 p.m. It's going to be 10 a.m. in West Coast, and we'll talk about news in general. God bless you all. Have a splendid, splendid day. Bye-bye.